This morning, we finished up the book of Galatians. You have to go online. We finished up the book of Galatians, and I hope that was a help to us. I know that I learned a lot just studying through it, you know, for the sermons and everything. And let's not forget what we've learned there about law and grace, the fruit of the Spirit, and everything. And let's thank God for what He's taught us in that. And so between now and next Sunday morning, I wanted to wait till next Sunday morning to start on the fundamentals. So I thought here in between, we'd go to Psalm 46. Psalm 46. Now, as I said this morning, and you're fully aware that the entire Bible is all about Jesus. It's all about His redemption and God's plan of salvation and everything. But there are passages of Scripture, not all Scripture talks about the same thing specifically. And there are some passages that deal with certain things and other passages deal with others. And so I thought, you know what, in this break on this Sunday night, what I wanted to do was just stop. I realize that every day we are to keep our minds on God, but I thought we would stop and just together here as a church, we would just spend some time just talking, just with our eyes on our Father, and spend a few minutes here tonight just thinking about Him and reading about Him. And I think the Psalms are some of the best places to go to do that. They just tell us so much about His character and who He is and how He deals with man. The Psalms are just wonderful. And so I was I was looking through the Psalms, and I came to Psalm 46, and it stood out to me. And then I prayed and said, God, if that's what You'd have me do Sunday night, then let it happen. If not, lead me another direction, and this is where we are. And so Psalm 46 just stood out to me this week, and so I thought we would spend some time there tonight, talking mainly about God's care and provision for His people. Let's just read it. Let's read the whole thing, and then we'll break it down verse by verse. Psalm 46, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore will not we fear, though the earth be removed, and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, though the waters thereof roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with the swelling thereof, Selah. There is a river, the streams whereof shall make glad the city of God, the holy place of the tabernacles of the Most High. God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God shall help her, and that right early. The heathen raged, the kingdoms were moved. He uttered His voice, the earth melted. The Lord of hosts is with us, the God of Jacob is our refuge, Selah. Come, behold the works of the Lord, what desolations He hath made in the earth. He maketh wars to cease unto the end of the earth. And by the way, one day He'll do that one final time. There'll be one last war to end all wars, and that'll be it. He breaketh the bow and cutteth the spear in sunder. He burneth the chariot in the fire. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the heathen. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Sometimes whenever I'm reading through the Scripture, you know, here are the notes of what I think I'm going to say, what I think I'm supposed to say. And sometimes I'm reading through these notes, reading through the Scripture, and it's one thing to be sitting at my desk or sitting at home and be reading and something just jump out that never jumped out. But when something jumps out when I'm trying to preach, I get a little bit excited. And so I'm reading through this, and I come to verse 10, and something stands out to me here that I guess I just didn't notice all the other times that I've read this passage, read this verse. I have verse number 10 marked in my Bible. It's a pretty common verse. We've all heard, "Be still and know that I am God." We know that. Putting together this sermon, this didn't stand out to me, but I'm standing here reading this. Be still and know that I am God. The word know kind of gets a hold of me there. You know, there are days when you don't feel like you're saved, do you? There are days when you don't feel like a child of God. There are days when you say, surely today, whew, man, surely not today. There are days when you don't feel very spiritual. There are days when you wonder, why in the world does he even put up with me? Why does he bother with me? There are days when you pray. I can say there are days when you pray, because I'm sure this happens to all of us. There are days when you pray and you feel like you're praying under one of these pews, and that's about how far that prayer goes before it falls right back down on the ground, don't you? You get down there and you pray and you just feel like you're talking to yourself some days, don't you? I do. And you just feel like, man, are these prayers getting anywhere? Am I being heard? It's not that you're doubting God, but it's just, you know, your emotions and your feelings wreak havoc on you. And you feel like God's so far away, and you feel like your prayers just aren't getting there, and you feel like you're so alone, and you feel. You know, in Christianity, that sometimes can be a dirty word. Feel. Because it's not. Our salvation, Christianity, is not based on our emotions. It is not based on what we feel. Because you don't feel like a Christian every day. You don't feel saved every day. You don't feel spiritual every day. And some days you feel like you're on the top of your game and things couldn't get any better. And then other days you feel like things can't get any worse. Martin Luther, though we would not agree with all of his doctrine, Martin Luther, they call him the father of the Reformation. One of my favorite little quotes is from him. It says, he said, "Feelings come and feelings go, and feelings are deceiving. My warrant is the Word of God. None else is worth believing." Because you cannot separate feeling and emotion from Christianity. God gave us emotions. He gave us feelings. You cannot separate them from being a Christian. God is love. That's an emotion. Okay? That's a feeling. You can't separate it. But you cannot rely on it. You cannot rely on it to take your spiritual temperature with. Because sometimes you're just not feeling it. And you're trying. And you're trying and you're trying to feel it. You say, "Boy, I don't feel this. I don't feel that. I don't feel that." Are you in prayer? Yeah. Every day. Are you in the Word? Yes. Are you obeying what you read? Yes. I feel like God is so far away. I feel like God just isn't listening. I feel like, you know what His Word says? Read it again. "Be still and feel that I am God." Nope. "Be still and have a warm, fuzzy feeling that I'm..." Church, this says, "Be still and know that I am God." It is not about how saved you feel or don't feel. It is not about if you feel like God's listening or not. It is not about if you feel like God is there. He said, "Be still and know." Your feelings are going to change. But if you know God's Word and you believe God's Word, what you know will not change. And He said, "Be still and know that I am God." You feel saved today? No, but I know I am. You feel like you're on top of your game spiritually? No, but I know I'm saved, and I can't get any more saved than I am right now. And I can't be any less saved than I am right now. You feel like you're going to heaven today? Boy, of all days today, I feel like I deserve it the least. But you know what? I know if I leave here today, that's where I'm going. I know. You know why? Because I know in whom I have believed and am persuaded that He is able to keep that which I have committed unto Him until that day. Boy, that is... I grew up in this church. I grew up in this thinking that it was all about emotion and what we feel. And you know what gets me excited? What I know. What I know. And I'll tell you, church, I probably have more days that I feel unsaved than days that I feel saved. Because I don't even know how to define feeling saved. What's that mean, to feel saved? Exactly. Can you define that? No, because the Bible doesn't tell us that it's important to feel saved. But I know that I have days, a lot of them, where I don't feel saved. I don't feel like I'm a child of God. I feel like God is so far away. I feel like I've messed up beyond any repair. I feel like this. I feel like that. I feel like that. And I'm so thankful that none of that matters. All that matters is what do I know to be true about God and His Word. And I know how to be saved. And that is to put my faith and trust in Jesus Christ alone for salvation. And I know that I have done that. And I know that His Word says no one can pluck me out of His hand. And I know that His Word says that I am sealed with the Holy Spirit until the day of redemption. And I know that I have, according to His Word, eternal salvation. That's what I know. And some days I might feel it and some days I don't, but every day I know it. And He said, be still and know that I am God. Look, this world that we live in will wreak havoc on your feelings and your emotions. People will use your feelings and emotions against you. You ever watched a TV commercial? You didn't know you needed that before that commercial came on. They play on it, don't they? Well, they know what they're doing. Ever watch a movie? I don't know if you've ever seen where they'll take a movie clip and show it, and then they'll show the same clip without the music. It's completely different. Boy, the music just, it does something to you. You ever been to a symphony or something like that? We like to go to symphonies and big band concerts, you know, and everything, and you know, listen to that kind of stuff. Boy, that music does something to you. We're sitting there waiting for a Brother Denny knows about this because of his son. You're sitting there waiting for a play or something to start. If you've ever been to a play, and man, when that orchestra, boom, it does something to you, doesn't it? It kind of, you know, excites you a little bit. You're ready to go. Boy, your emotions are tricky things. They're tricky things, and they're not always bad. But you just can't trust them when it comes to salvation. You've got to trust what the Word of God says. Look, when you're troubled, you just have to be still and know that He's God. You just have to be still and know that He's God. You think about your little kids sometime whenever they were sick and they came in and you knew that the medicine was working. You knew they were going to be okay. And boy, they were scared and you just had to, listen, you're going to be all right. Just trust Daddy. Just trust Mommy. You're going to be all right. I'm telling you. You just needed them to believe what you were saying, didn't you? They didn't feel like it. Boy, they felt sick, and maybe they were having trouble breathing, and you just had to reassure them. They had to rest in what you told them and believe what you told them. Like I say, this world, boy, it'd shake you up. Shake you up. You just take a look at our world right now and what's going on. Has there ever been a time when so many countries that hated us were in such a race to get nuclear weapons? so many of Israel's enemies were starting to close in around them. It's kind of exciting, isn't it? Ever been a time when just it seemed like so many things were just balancing on a string? Oh, preacher, we didn't come in here to get depressed. We can see that on the news. We can read that in the paper. I know. That's why we got to come in here every week. 3-4 times a week. Because of the news and the paper and where we work. We got to come in here. We got to get this. Boy, you look around and you say, man, what is going on? You just go to Psalm 46:10. Be still and know that I am God. Be still. Know that I am God. You know, we joked this morning about me running for president. I spent the afternoon thinking about it, putting my cabinet together. My cabinet, by the way, is full of little Debbies. You already knew that. But you know that no matter who's in a White House, no matter who's up in Indianapolis, no matter who's down at the courthouse here, good, bad, terrible, best we ever had, whatever. You know all that changes. Give it a few years, things change. When one side's happy, another side's not. People look around, they get so upset and so worked up and worried about that. And God said, be still and know that I am God. Here we are, we're in election year wondering who's going to be our president next year, and God knows exactly who it's going to be and who the one after that and the one after that. And He knows if we're even going to be here next week for church. We may be in glory before then. So we have to rest, be still, and know that He is God. Let's go back to verse 1. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. You ever been in trouble? You ever been in a tight spot? You ever been in a bad spot? You ever been in something bad that wasn't your fault, was your fault? Somebody else did it to you? You did it to yourself? I've told you before, most of my problems I brought on myself. Maybe you're like that. Or you might be one of the victims that just seem like you just can't get ahead. Everything bad just happens to you no matter how hard you try. Well, the point is we all end up in trouble. Whether we brought it on ourselves or somebody else brought it on us. But the Bible says God is our refuge and strength. That's good. That's good that He's my strength because I'm not very strong. A very present help in trouble. So you ever been in trouble? Will you ever be in trouble again? Maybe you just got out of some trouble. You ever going to be in again? Well, unless He takes us home right now, if we have to go through this week, there's a good chance some of us are going to be in a spot again, be in a fix again. How about this? Before salvation, we were all in trouble. Biggest trouble we'd ever been in. Biggest trouble a person could be in. Looking hell right in the face. And He says, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. That means I don't have to wait to be heard. Now, I might pray, and in God's plan, in God's will, I have to wait a while to see what the answer is going to be. But I can know that when I pray, it's being heard right now. And He's already working on it. It's already being heard. He's already working on it. And I just have to wait. I just have to wait and see what He does with it. Not if, but wait and see when and how and to what extent. Don't pray and wait and see if God answers. Pray and wait and see when He answers and how He answers and to what extent He answers. Don't waver. But we don't have to wait. You know, we think of 911, we call 911. And we think, boy, I can call and get help right now. Look, if you live 20 miles from the hospital, that distance doesn't get any shorter just because you called 911. There's still a wait, isn't there? You call, Help might be on the way. They might make it. Hopefully they make it. They could be in a wreck on the way. You call the police and they may say, look, everybody's out on calls. You're just going to have to wait. Help might show up at some point. But God, what is He? A very present help in trouble. Right now. Right now. Right now. I mean, right now. You come to pray. Those poor Catholics. Gotta go stand in line. Confession. You know what you go into, you approach God's throne, and there is no take a number, be seated, wait. You ever gone to the license branch and took a number and they skipped your number? Tear the place down, won't you? Get up and start yelling. There is no take a number. There is no, God, do you have time to listen to me right now? God, do you have a minute? Do you want me to come back later? God, can we talk now? Look, I don't have to do... This is just how it is here at this church. I don't have to do a lot of counseling and things like that here. It doesn't mean I never do, but I just don't have to do much of that. But you could come here one day and have to wait. If I'm meeting with somebody and you might need to talk and have to wait, and I'll be with you as soon as I can, and you might say, boy, I got to get home. I guess I'll have to talk to Pastor tomorrow about it. You know, that could happen. I can pretty much guarantee you that it won't, because it's usually just me here all week. I get excited when I hear the lawnmower start up because I know John's out there mowing and I got somebody to talk to. But he's always in such a hurry because he's got more work to do. He doesn't want to stop and talk to me. I get all excited. If he came around lunchtime, I'd take him out for a sandwich. You know, you sit here and you go, you could come in here and you could say, Pastor, I need to talk to you. Well, you know, I got to talk to these people first. And never with God. I'm in trouble right now. I need help right now. I'm scared right now. I need help right now. I'm confused right now. I need help right now. God, can we talk? Absolutely. You got time for me? All the time you need. God, how can you deal with me and him and her all at the same time? Because I'm God. You never have to take a number. You never have to wait. He's a very present help in trouble. You know what? You have your Bible about all the time, don't you? Some people have them at home and at work and in the car and listen to it on your phone. And then, I mean, most of us have Bibles everywhere, don't we? Right, there's a very present help in trouble. Being able to go to His Word. Boy, what a blessing. United States of America. We can have one of these right here. What a blessing that I can walk down the street with it and not have to worry about being killed because I'm carrying this. What a blessing I don't have to hide this. I can open up this very present help in time of trouble. Open this up and God will talk to me through His Word and give me the help that I need. Then verse 2, therefore will not we fear. What are you afraid of? What are we afraid of? God's your strength. God's your refuge. And He's right there all the time, right when you need Him. What are you afraid of? Therefore links this verse to the previous verse. Anytime you see that word therefore or wherefore, it's related to what was just now said. Because God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble, therefore, or because of that, will not we fear. Nothing to be afraid of. You know why? He didn't give us the spirit of fear. He tells us that in His Word. Though the earth be removed, and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, though the waters thereof roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with the swelling thereof, Look, the actual physical earth can fall down around us and we have no reason to be afraid. Why? You say, that sounds like some pretty scary stuff. I've never been in a... Well, I guess you could say I've been in an earthquake because what about five, six, however many years ago we had that little one here in Indiana. It wasn't... I'll tell you, you live in Indiana where we don't have earthquakes and the ground shakes, that scare you. We jumped up this morning, we jumped up and ran in the kids' room. The kids were sitting up and so it stopped and I said, well, it must have been an earthquake. But you look at some of these places, man, that get them and get hit hard. Buildings fall and the ground opens up and buildings fall into the ground and everything, and then tsunamis and everything. We're pretty blessed living in Indiana. I'm going to stay right here. But you just look at everything that happens when these things happen. That's some scary stuff now. Look, David, David didn't write this. I'm sorry. The psalmist says, look, the earth can fall apart. And we don't have to fear. You know why that is? Because I serve the one who spoke this earth into existence. I don't have to be afraid. I know the builder. I don't have to be afraid. Verse 4, there is a river, the streams whereof shall make glad the city of God, the holy place of the tabernacles of the Most High. This is talking about how a river brings with it life. Okay? You can use the river to water the crops and raise the crops. You can get fish to eat from the river. You can use the river for commerce and shipping, you know, up and down the river and everything. I mean, a river is a wonderful thing. It brings with it life in a way. It kind of sustains. In a way, it says, there is a river, the streams whereof shall make glad the city of God. So, you have a river and then you have streams that come off of it that benefit you. Well, we're talking here about God's protection and His provision for His people. And when we rest in Him, look at all of the blessings, all the little streams that come just from resting in Him. All the little areas of our lives that are affected and made better and helped and strengthened from that one river of trusting in Him. All the things that are affected. God is in the midst of her. Now, this is talking specifically about Israel. God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God shall help her, and that right early. Church is not Israel, but we do serve the same God. We do serve the same God. And the Bible says, I've never seen the righteous forsaken. God has always provided for His people and protected His people. And you say, oh, but some people... Yeah, some people have to go through that fire. But what's after the fire? What's at the end of the road? God has always had His watchful eye and His protective hand upon His people. Doesn't mean we don't go through some hard times. Doesn't mean things don't get bad sometimes. Man, in some countries, the Christians are tortured, killed. Doesn't mean we don't have to go through things like that sometime, but one millisecond after we draw our last breath, the pain has ended. We're with our refuge. We're with our strength. We're with that, as the verse says here, very present help in trouble. But God takes care of His people. And if you look at verse number 6, the heathen raged, the kingdoms were moved. Anything like that going on now? Are the heathen raging? Have they ever stopped? No. Did they stop when Republicans had the Congress? Did they stop when the Democrats had it? The heathen rage, that's what they do. And they rage against God. We see this today, the heathen raging. Because God's people have always been the enemy of the world. Because the world is the enemy of God. If you go back to Psalm chapter 2. And verse 1. Why do the heathen rage and the people imagine a vain thing? You know why I wanted us to go back and look at that? To show you that's what the heathen do. They rage. They always have. It's mentioned in Psalm 2. It's mentioned in Psalm 46. The heathen are still raging. And all these years later, the heathen are still raging. That's what they do. The heathen rage. Look, the world hates God. Because the world, its philosophies, its ways and everything, their God is the devil. You know, the Bible tells us friendship with the world is enmity with God, which means make friendship of the world is basically an enemy of God. They can't get along together. Two separate things. The philosophies of the world don't line up with God. But how do the heathen rage? How do we see the heathen rage? They blaspheme God. They blaspheme God. They deny Him. They murder. There's I don't know if it's a special or a series or what. I can't watch enough of it to find out, but there's a guy by the name of Stephen Hawking. You know who Stephen Hawking is? He's a scientist and atheist and just absolutely hates God. And PBS, because it fits with their philosophy, they love to show the evolution, you know, things and everything. But I noticed the other day, and there's a new special, Stephen Hawking. And it's all about getting people to question and figure out where we came from and why we're here. And it's just, I mean, there's no sense in a Christian watching it. And you can't watch it more than about 30 seconds because they're denying your God that you know is real. But you sit there and it's, you know, all these just silly stuff that they're doing. And denying God and with their evolution and everything, and God just takes it and waits and takes it. But the heathen rage. You might not think that that's a sign of rage, but it is. They're raging. I mean, they're pushing this thing, raging. Their rebellion against God. The world rebels against God. The absolute most persecuted minority on the face of this earth are Christians. I'm not just saying that. We have the authority of God's Word. We can see it all through His Word. If you like stats, the stats prove it too. No group of people are as heavily persecuted as Christians. And it's always been that way. All over the globe, it's like that. You just don't realize it because our media, they don't want to show that. That goes against what they're trying to push. But God's people have always been persecuted. Why? Because the heathen rage against God. And we remind them of Him. They can't see Him, so we remind Him. We're made in His image. We are Christians. That name was given to us. It means little Christ. It doesn't mean you're a God. But we're His disciples. We're His followers. We're His people. And so we remind the world of this one that they hate. And so they rage. The heathen rage when they assert, whenever they claim that human life means nothing. Marriage means nothing. Sexes mean nothing. Jews and Christians are hated and persecuted. The heathen rage. And it says, the heathen rage, the kingdoms were moved. But watch this. He uttereth His voice, the earth melted. Church, we ought not look forward to what's going to happen to the lost if they don't get saved. It ought not be, we ought to try to get as many people to come in as possible before they leave this earth. Our attitude ought never be, yeah, you'll get yours one day. No, our attitude ought to be, hey, listen to the gospel. I don't want you to get what you got coming to you. You're glad that you aren't going to get what you had coming to you. Why not share it with somebody else? But the fact is, God will settle the score. We don't say that as something that we're excited about. We're not looking forward to God. But God is going to settle the score. The heathen will only be able to rage so long. So long. How about this? God has enough power in His voice alone to put down our enemies. In His voice alone. Turn to Revelation 19:15. Revelation 19:15, and out of His mouth goeth a sharp sword, that with it He should smite the nations, and He shall rule them with a rod of iron, and He treadeth the winepress of the fierceness and wrath of Almighty God. He has enough power in His very words to handle our toughest enemies and our toughest situation. Is there power in God's word? If you've ever been troubled and gone to His Word, you know there's power in His Word. You know there is. If you've ever walked into a church service, something going on in your life, and you've heard the preaching of God's Word, you know there's power in just His words. Just the words of His mouth. He can put down our greatest enemies. You say, my greatest enemy is my flesh. With the power of this word right here, He can put it down. If we'll get in this and learn it and obey it and let Him do His work. So why fear? Verse 7, the Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. He was with Israel. He's with the church. We're not Israel, but He's with us as He was with, He's with the church as He was with Israel. Why fear? Why be downtrodden? And you know, it either just comes down to this. We either believe it or we don't. We either know it or we don't. It's all about faith. I believe it or I don't. If we do, it's high time we live like it. It's high time we live like we believe what we're reading here tonight. Like we know in whom we have believed. And in verses 8 through 11... I know we already dealt with 10. Come, behold the works of the Lord, what desolations He hath made in the earth. He maketh wars to cease unto the end of the earth. He breaketh the bow and cutteth the spear in sunder. He burneth the chariot in the fire. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the heathen. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Selah. We turn to Romans 14. Just want to look at about three verses here to finish up. Romans 14. And verse 11. We just read about, in Psalm 46, we just read about how how God will put down the heathen. He will deal with those that try to rise up against Him. He will put them down. Romans 14:11, for it is written, as I live, saith the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall confess to God. Everyone who has ever drawn a breath of life is going to confess that He is God. You're either going to do it this side of eternity and become one of His, or you're going to do it when it's too late, but you're going to do it. If there's one thing I can tell you for sure, this is one of those things that I can tell you for sure because it's in the Word of God. Everybody's going to do this. You'll either do it now, put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ, or you'll do it when it's too late, but you will do it. And we just read that He said, be still. Look, I think we all would agree that's difficult for us sometimes. But that doesn't make it any less commanded for us to do it. It's hard to be still. It is, but He told us to do it. That's difficult to be still. Yeah, but He said to do it. Well, that's tough sometimes. Yeah, He knows, but He still said, do it. Be still and know that I am God. Hebrews 13:6. Just a couple of verses for us to walk out of here with some encouragement this week. Hebrews 13:6. So that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what man shall do unto me. What could man do to you? What's man going to do to you when God is your helper? I don't think Brother Dwayne would mind me telling this. Dwayne told me a story one time of a Christian man that had a gun pulled on him. And his response to the person that pulled the gun was, you can't scare me with heaven. Now, I had never thought about it that way, but boy, that's good, isn't it? You can't scare me with that. Well, I'll just kill you. Ooh. And then I go home with Jesus. What can man do to us? And then 2 Timothy chapter 1. And I went the wrong way. 2 Timothy chapter 1. Verse 7. For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. What are we afraid of? We read everything we've read tonight. We read everything we look at tonight, and it ought to be clear to us, hey, how silly it is for me to fear anything, for me to fear what man can do to me, for me to fear the circumstances in my life, for me to fear what's going on in the world. I serve the King of Kings. I serve the Lord of Lords. I serve the Creator. I serve the one who not only made all of this, but who is going to remake it, and I get to be there when He does it. That's who I serve. Who do you serve? This world is full of people who have a lot of reason to fear, but not those that have put their faith and trust in Jesus Christ. The lost, they ought to be afraid. Many of them aren't. Some because they haven't heard this, some because they've rejected this. We have absolutely no reason to fear. Why would we fear? We talk often about the nice weather and the beautiful weather and everything. My Father made that. My Father did that. Some of you have things in your home that your daddy made. And you can say, or your granddaddy or somebody, and say, this came out of my grandparents' house. My granddaddy made that before I was born. And, this cradle, all of us kids, my granddaddy made this cradle, and all of us kids were rocked in this little cradle. And, some of you have things like that in your home. Every single one of us can walk outside and say, look at what my daddy made. Look at what my father did and does every single day. Now you tell me why we ought fear anything. Other people, our circumstances, what's going on in the world. Why? Not just because we know how it turns out. Not just because we're going to get out of here. Not just because we know what the end is going to be. But because we have a present help right now. Not just because we know what's coming, but because right now He's with me helping me. Why be afraid? Why fear? What are you going through? What has you down? What has you discouraged or afraid? Anything? Maybe not. Maybe you're doing pretty good tonight. Or maybe something's got you down. Or maybe something will this week. Maybe before the week's out, something will. I don't know. But we all go through things. But why fear those things? We have a present help right now. I don't have to wait. I don't get an answering machine. I don't have to take a number. I don't have to send an email and wait for a reply right now. Let's pray and then sing a short hymn of invitation. Ladies, I'd like to change it tonight. If we could do 326, Turn Your Eyes Upon Jesus. Keep you on your toes. You never know what I'm going to do. Putting this sermon together, I thought that would be appropriate for tonight. So let's pray and then we'll go to 326. Dear God, we just thank You for the reminder. We thank You for the encouragement. We thank You for Your word. And I ask that You would help us not to lean on our feelings, not to lean on our emotions, but that we would lean and trust wholly on what we know to be true from Your word. And if we know that we have trusted You for salvation, help us to lean on that and what we know, because our feelings change. But help us to be still and know that You are God. Whether we feel like it, whether we feel like You're listening, whether we feel like we're getting through, help us to know that You are, and You are listening. Bring us that peace that only You can bring. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. 326, Turn Your Eyes Upon Jesus. Give me a second to get to it myself.